your phone buzzes. It's a message from Mum. I've just sent $5,000 to a man who said he was from the bank. Your heart sinks. What now? Well, scams targeting vulnerable Australians are getting bolder and more expensive. Last year alone, they cost people over 65 nearly $100 million. And just last week, the NAB revealed it had stopped and recovered almost $2 million a week of customers' money ending up in the hands of scammers in the 6 months between October and March. Some families are so worried about their older loved ones falling victim that they're even considering taking their phones away just to protect them. So what can you do when someone you love is being targeted? Tell me your story, if you like. What steps have you taken to protect yourself and loved ones from a scam? Or perhaps you or a family member have been targeted by a scam. How did you get out of it? And I'm joined by Dr. Kate Gould, who is a neuropsychologist at Monash University and the lead researcher at Cyber Ability, a pilot program for survivors of cyber scams. Kate, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks so much for having me, Tegan.
Those NAB figures are shocking. $2 million a week stopped or recovered from scammers. That's just one bank. Are cyber scams becoming more common?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people might be really surprised to know that the data we see at a national level is showing Australia loses between $2 to $3 billion a year to scams. So the scale of this is quite significant. At a global scale, we're looking at trillions of dollars that scammers are reaping from innocent Australians and people worldwide.
That number is really unsettling. Like, trillions of dollars is crazy. But what it also says to me is that it's actually really common for people to be fooled by them, which maybe makes you feel less silly if you're one of the ones that have been pulled in because so many people have fallen victim to them.
Exactly. I think, like, the view of many people is that only fools are scammed, but it is important to recognise that scammers are incredibly sophisticated. They have enormous budgets to ensure that they get high returns from their scam campaigns, and that if you are scammed, it's nothing to be ashamed of. Just like if your house was robbed, it's not your fault. The scammer is the criminal and it's their fault. They're the ones to blame for taking your money or your information.
So what are some of the most common digital scams you're hearing about at the moment?
So there's always new scams popping up all the time. That's what scammers are really good at, to develop different ways and different tricks to try to part us with our money. But overwhelmingly, the main scams that affect us in Australia in terms of the amount of money we lose are investment scams, phishing scams where somebody tries to get your banking or other personal details, remote access scams where somebody tries to get information or get you to download an app so that they can log on to your device, and romance scams where somebody creates a fake profile and over a period of days, weeks and months creates a romantic relationship to eventually ask you for some money.
So you're working with scam survivors, people who have lived through all of these different scams that you've just outlined there. What's the psychological impact of being targeted?
It's a really complex emotional journey. It starts with the fact that scammers actually use psychology against us. They use social engineering to try to create themselves as figures of trust and authority. And then they also use emotional manipulation to try to invoke fear or excitement or love. And that gets you into a very kind of hot emotional state, and you're not able to think as clearly. You might respond in a very sort of rash or impulsive way, and that's what they want. And it's very difficult to educate people out of their emotions when your emotions are high and you're reacting because of the way they're manipulating you. And because of all of those complex ways that they've manipulated people, and sometimes even told you to kind of ignore the messages of other people, we find that many individuals are in a state of denial about the scam. They want to believe that the investment or the romance is very real. And when they do eventually identify, or somebody is able to convince them, whether that's a family member or the police or the bank, that they have been scammed, as you can imagine, there's a huge emotional response. People can be very distressed, very angry, very depressed. They can feel a very strong sense of shame, self-blame, and it can be a very, very difficult time emotionally. And that can also lead to a lot of conflict with family members and loved ones and services as well, because of that emotional upheaval, but also because if they have lost money to the scam, it might be that those family members have lost money too, or that family members have really tried to convince the person that they're being scammed. And if the person is really struggling to identify that, that can be very frustrating for the family members too. So there's really ripple effects across the person and others in their life who are emotionally impacted, unfortunately.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and I'm talking to Dr. Kate Gould from Monash University about scams in the wake of one bank in Australia revealing last week that it's recovered almost $2 million a week of customers' money ending up in the hands of scammers. That's just one bank. Kate, you mentioned before that, you know, anyone can be taken in by these scams, that there's sort of no one's really immune to it. But what groups are particularly vulnerable?
Yeah, I think that's a really important part of this conversation, that anyone can be scammed. And in fact, they often say there's a scam for everyone. There's scammers that are particularly target academics, for example, with fake conferences and fake journals. But there are some people in our community, and there are also some circumstances that make us more vulnerable. So vulnerable circumstances might be being really busy and not paying a lot of attention to the flurry of emails and text messages and having to just respond very fast, or being very tired, or being very confident in our abilities. That can be a vulnerability as well. But then there are also people in the community, like people with disability. I work particularly with individuals with acquired brain injury from stroke or an accident. There are people in the community, like as we get older, there's greater rates of scams. And then there's also situations in which, because of your circumstances, you might be less familiar with what the kind of normal text message or email or bill looks like. That might be because you have come from a non-English speaking background, or you have only been in this country for a short amount of time and you don't know what the normal sort of material looks like, or if you've been incarcerated. We also see cohorts like Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people having higher rates of scams. So there are a number of ways that we can be vulnerable because of our population group, but also because of the circumstances we find ourselves in at a particular day or a particular time.
And I think it's natural to want to protect people that we love, especially when you know that they do fall into a vulnerable group like that. But is the answer taking mum or dad's phone away?
I think it's very natural to try to be protective in that way. And we're hearing that particularly amongst people with disability, where there is a concern about financial vulnerability to exploitation or scams, and people can put in place these restrictions, like restricting people's access to the internet or their phone or their money. And that can be effective to an extent, but it can also cause a lot of distress for the person based on that loss of independence. So where possible, I think it is ideal to look at more proactive ways rather than restrictive practices.
So if I'm listening to this and I'm going, oh, I'm worried about this person in my life, or I'm worried for myself that perhaps some engagement that I've got happening online might actually be a scam, where can people go for help?
One of the things is that as we kind of increase our education and awareness in the community, it'd be great if we were talking more amongst our family and friends about scams. So like we would warn each other about a major weather event or some serious traffic on the road, we should be talking about, have you heard about this latest scam, and create open communication without shame, without blame. And then when something does arise, like there's a dodgy message or a bill or transaction or phone call, that creates a communication pathway where people feel more comfortable to check in with each other. What do you think about this message? Does this look legit? And then by creating that opportunity for someone with fresh eyes who hasn't had that kind of emotional response that the scammer generated, that can prevent people from clicking on the link or giving that information. If somebody, though, has provided information or data or phone access or their money to a scammer, it is important to reach out for help as soon as you can to stop engaging with the scammer or providing further information. It might be that you speak to a family member who supports you to get help, or there are avenues like we have ScamWatch, which is a division of the ACCC that can support people who have been scammed. And then there are a number of different agencies that can provide support depending on the type of scam that you've experienced. So, for example, ID Care can help people where there's been an identity theft or other impacts of scams as well.
Are there any other actions that people need to take?
It's really important that if you have transferred funds or given banking information to a scammer, that you contact your bank immediately as the first stop so that they can try to block that payment if possible, and that you notify them that your information might not be secure anymore.
Kate, thanks so much for joining me.
No worries, Tegan.
Dr. Kate Gould is a neuropsychologist at Monash University and lead researcher at CyberAbility. The ID Care number she just mentioned before, 1-800-595-160.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.